Welcome to Romancing the Saints with Pastor Gene Pensiero. We're glad you're joining us as we study verse by verse through books of the Bible, discovering God's extravagant love for His people. Now we pick back up in our verse by verse study through the book of Joshua.
All right, I got back about, I think around 11 o'clock last night from family camp. Was there Friday night and Saturday. And what a great camp. Most everybody's still up there. They're done with their morning session, getting ready for lunch, just enjoying the lake. What a blast. Bible study and worship, and then just tons of good family activity. Big year for horseshoes. Big year for horseshoes. We're talking a horseshoe tournament. That was exciting. A little bit of a twist in the canoe race. Traditionally, it's a four-person canoe race. We were informed due to new safety regulations, the four-man canoes can only have three people in them now. So that was both a numeric and strategic problem because we didn't know where the third person should sit in the number two slot or in the number three slot. It's an untested kind of a thing, you know. So anyway, we've got that squared away. It turned out we had so many people in the canoe race that we had to have two heats. And so the first heat went, the second heat went. We thought we'd just get the winners, you know, the two winners, and then the next fastest time would just have a final canoe race. And then some of you guys can relate to this. You know, we're getting older, some of us, and you know you shouldn't do certain things, but you still want to. You know, you still think I could have been a contender. You know, you still think you got it in you. If somebody had just tapped on you and said, "Hey, we need you as the canoe guy," you know, you could have, you know, and stuff. And you still have that kind of a Rocky-esque mentality to you. And so, I ended up in a canoe with my daughter and son-in-law. After our heat, which was the second heat, any thought of having a third race. As a matter of fact, I want somebody to explain to me why my kidneys would hurt after a canoe race. If you can explain that, I have no idea. You know, people say, "Oh yeah, I got muscles that I didn't know." My kidneys hurt, and I don't know what that means. I think it's rather serious. But anyway, I thought, you know, if I have to go in the canoe again, I'm going to die. But I guess that wouldn't be too bad. I thought because, you know, I always wanted to die in some ministry. I didn't think it would be a canoe race. But then I could just lay in the canoe and they put my Bible on my chest and push me over the spillway, kind of like the ancient heroes of old, you know. But anyway, so we ended up taking the two winners and then the next fastest time. I did win bronze. We did win bronze in the canoe race. So after a contested turn at Long Island, but that's a whole nother story. But anyway, a lot of big fish were caught up there. Those of you who are fishermen, my son-in-law, Johnny, won the competition with a 16-inch bass that he caught in that lake. Monster bass fish, you know, scared me. You know, he said, "Would you net that?" And I go, "No, the fish is going to kill me." You know, and stuff. No, I made that part up. But mostly, a lot of the kids, little kids, catching fish like crazy, and big fish. You know, the kids were catching 12, 13-inch bass and stuff. And so it was really just a sweet time. We had activities, of course, for you know, all the way from toddler up to adult. We're going to get dates for next year. And so as soon as we have them, we'll let you know so you can start planning for that. But what a blast it was, and a real neat spiritual emphasis on family, and just sweet. So when the folks get back, we'll probably do a slideshow, I'm sure. And also, because of some newfangled invention called the internet, everybody is going to be able to upload their photos to Flickr.com, and then you'll be able to log in, and if you want to, you can see everybody's photos of family camp and wish you were there. So anyway, that's cool. Keep those guys in prayer. They're going to have lunch at 11:30 and then head down. Camp is over officially at noon, so keep them in prayer for traveling mercies. Saw a bear first thing. Big old black bear. As we were driving down into camp, running along the road, my wife wanted to get out and take a picture of it. She has no fear of animals. I fear all animals. And so cooler heads prevailed. Actually, I just wouldn't stop is what it was. She was willing to jump at that, you know, but no. We stopped and watched them for a while, and I didn't think it was prudent to get out of the car. But anyway, sweet bear. Deer walked through the camp during the volleyball game, and it was just really a sweet time for the kids. We're going to study the book of Joshua as we've been doing for some weeks now, for I guess about 15 or 16 weeks. We're in chapter 10, the end of chapter 10, verse 27 to be exact, and we're going to look all the way through to the end of chapter 11. Don't be alarmed. I was able to finish on time first service, so we will get you out of here. You're not going to have to pretend you need to go to the bathroom or anything like that. So we're going to look at that. That's our text. The topic there, Joshua's campaigns to conquer the land of Canaan culminate with a decisive victory by the waters of Merom, where he hamstrings the enemy's horses and burns their chariots. The title of our message, Chariots on Fire. In chapter 11, we're going to look, I'm going to read three verses from chapter 11 to set the context, and then we will be going back through all of the verses as we comment. But it's such a long section, I don't want to have to read it through and then come back to it. So let's just start in chapter 11, verse 15. We'll read verses 15, 16, and 17 so we know what we're talking about. As the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland and the Jordan plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands. From Mount Halak and the ascent to Seir, even as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon, he captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Let's pray. Lord, all this talk of victory in the book of Joshua whets our spiritual appetite, as it were, to be victorious in our own walk with the Lord. There are areas, Lord, where we've known victory, other areas perhaps where we're struggling to maintain victory, some areas yet to be conquered. I pray that as we continue, and especially this morning, Lord, you'd help us to have courage to believe, Lord, that you can give us the victory that you've won for us on the cross at Calvary, and that we would receive it by faith. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And those who agreed said, amen. The Israelite soldiers knew their way around a sword. 11 times in chapters 10 and 11, you read about their sword play. The phrase that keeps recurring is, struck it with the edge of the sword. No matter the terrain or the tactics of their enemies, the sword was sufficient in every battle. Now, it's not hard to see the Israelite swords as typical of our sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. Here's a couple of verses familiar to most of you that describe the Bible as a sword. Ephesians 6:17, we're told to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. As we read of their victories in Canaan, the Lord intends for us to improve on our sword play. Reading through this summary of their campaigns, two images emerge. The first is the image of the sword-wielding soldier. The second is the image of a sword-yielding servant. I'll organize my thoughts around those two images, and we'll see, number one, you've been enlisted as a sword-wielding soldier, and number two, you've been entrusted as a sword-yielding servant. First of all, you've been enlisted as a sword-wielding soldier. Even if you haven't seen the movie, you're probably familiar with the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where a sword-wielding man confronts Indiana Jones in the alley, and then Indiana Jones takes out his gun and just shoots him. I sometimes feel like that man in my walk with the Lord, as if I've come to a gunfight with a knife. It can seem as though we lack sufficient weaponry in the Christian warfare, when in fact, our weapons are both sufficient and superior. Armed with only swords, the Israelites conquered Canaan. Reading through the summary of their campaigns, you first notice that their swords were sufficient and superior, regardless the terrain. Let me read a few selected verses. Just listen for the various terrain upon which these battles were fought. Chapter 10, verse 40 says, "So Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country and the south, and the lowland and the wilderness slopes, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded." Then in chapter 11, it begins in verse 1, "And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and the king of Shimron, and the king of Akshaph, and to the kings who were from the north, in the mountains, in the plain south of Chinneroth, in the lowland, and in the heights of Dor on the west. To the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite in the mountains, and the Hivite below Hermon in the land of Mizpah." Then down in 11:16, "Thus Joshua took all the land, mountain country, the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, and the Jordan plain, the mountains of Israel, and its lowlands." And so reading through that, you see mountains and lowlands and wilderness slopes, plains and heights. Whether the enemy was behind walled cities or out in the open field, on any and every terrain, the Israelites defeated them with their swords alone. Your life involves many different terrains. Each of the environments in which you might find yourself could be compared to a different terrain, and it provides a unique challenge. Your marriage, your work, your school, your church, all of these are a unique terrain in your life. They present a slightly different obstacles, a slightly different nuances to your walk with the Lord. You might be going through something right now that seems like a difficult uphill battle. Maybe something is, we would say, snowballing downhill. So you see, we use this in our common idioms, in vernacular. We talk about those uphill battles. And this is where it comes from, this idea that Joshua and his men, they had to go up these mountains. They had to fight these uphill battles. Or whether it was in a valley, we talk about just being in kind of a low time in our life. And so we're already familiar with this imagery, and so we can plug ourselves into this story. And so whether it's an uphill battle or a snowball rolling down, there you stand with your sword, the Word of God. You can look at the Israelites winning battle after battle on every possible terrain, and you can believe that you too have a weapon that is sufficient and superior for the task at hand. Then too, you see that the enemies of Israel employed many tactics, no matter their sword play. Their sword play won the day. Let's notice some of their tactics as we begin in chapter 10, verse 28. "On that day Joshua took Makkedah, and he struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, all the people who were in it. He let none remain. He also did to the king of Makkedah as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him to Libna, and they fought against Libna. And the Lord also delivered it and its king into the hand of Israel. He struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword. He let none remain in it, but did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho." Some battles are easier than others. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've got a few victories under your belt. You have some areas in your life that you feel are more or less under control. And you're not really struggling in them. But then along comes something that is more of a challenge. Verse 31. "Then Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him to Lachish, and they encamped against it and they fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, who took it on the second day and struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, according to all that he had done to Libna. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came to help Lachish, and Joshua struck him and his people until he left him none remaining." Now, Lachish didn't fall so easily. The battle went into a second day, and reinforcements came to aid them, and the Israelites had them to deal with as well. Just because you have God's word, it doesn't mean every battle will be easily won. Certainly won, but not easily won. Oftentimes, you must persevere. It is precisely at this point many Christians grow discouraged. And it is precisely at this point Christians begin to think God's Word needs supplementing. One of the worst things that you can do is try to supplement the Word of God. It doesn't need supplementing. When the battle is a little bit more difficult, God is wanting to show you new things in order to grow you. Paul the Apostle, great example. He used himself as an example. He said, hey, I follow Christ, you follow me. And so we can always look to Paul as an example. Paul had a serious physical ailment. He called it the thorn in his flesh. And he asked the Lord to remove it. So it was a battle that had been going on for a time. There was no easy victory in that area. Though he was serving the Lord, this great apostle had this struggle, and he sought the Lord for it. And the Lord came to him, Paul says, after the third time, and he said, I'm not going to take it away. You're going to learn through it that my strength is sufficient in your weakness. And then Paul embraced that as his victory over that struggle. And so many times, God will bring that, will allow that. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a healing service or to seek healing. We pray for healing. We believe in healing. We believe in miracles. But I think sometimes you get to a point where God has told you, this is my plan for your life. It's not the plan you would have chosen, but it is my plan. And I want you to embrace it. I want you to take that sword and meet the enemy with courage and with strength. And that's the victory. The victory is in your overcoming the weakness of your flesh in my strength. And so there are going to be battles in your life that are not so easily won. They're going to be winnable, but they're not so easily won. God wants to show you new things so that he can grow you. Now, after Lachish, the battles return to what was more normal for the children of Israel. We read, starting in verse 34, from Lachish, Joshua passed to Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. They took it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword. All the people who were in it he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. So Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him to Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and struck it with the edge of the sword, its king and all its cities and all the people who were in it. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but utterly destroyed it and all the people who were in it. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir, and they fought against it. And he took it and its king and all its cities. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the people who were in it. He left none remaining. As he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir and its king, as he had done also to Libna and its king. Now here, one of the things we learn is to never relax after victory, but to keep on conquering. As we've seen and said before in our studies in Joshua, there will be no end to our struggles until we are out of these bodies and with the Lord in heaven. We can enjoy what is called a spiritual rest, but it is a rest that we enter into as soldiers who are fighting against fierce and unrelenting foes. And so as long as I'm alive in this body, which is not doing too well right now, and on this earth, which is not doing too well right now, against the devil, who's fierce and angry, we're going to have struggles. And so we can never relax. We're never going to get to a place in the Christian life where we have gone through all of the struggles and trials. They're just going to keep coming. But we're going to get really a lot better at receiving them as a gift from the Lord to show us more about his mercy. You know, somebody was telling me about a commercial the other day where a guy comes out of a room or something and his wife says, what happened? He goes, I just went through the entire internet, done with the internet. So it's like a high-speed internet commercial. And he claims he's surfed every website on the internet, you know, and stuff. And sometimes I think we, as Christians, think, well, that's it. I'm done. I've won the final battle. Now I can just cruise, and it's just never going to be that way. And those of us who are getting older, it can be a surprise, can't it? You know, you thought, by now, you know, but it just keeps coming. But the Lord is so much sweeter than he ever was before and revealing himself. And so enjoy God's spiritual rest, but know that you're a soldier for the long haul. In verse 40, Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country in the south and the lowland and the wilderness slopes and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And Joshua conquered them from Kadesh Barnea as far as Gaza and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. All these kings and their land Joshua took at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. It was, you might say, an all-terrain victory, and so can yours be. Too often, our lives can get unbalanced. A couple of ways that happens. One is that we could be having difficulties in a particular terrain, and so we somewhat abandon it and spend more time where we feel more successful. Other times, similar situation, except that we really want to be in a certain terrain in our life. This happens a lot with folks that have careers. Nothing wrong with a career. But a lot of times, if people are really honest about it, they'd rather be at work than at home. There's just something about being at work. They feel more respected. They feel a sense of authority. They feel like they're accomplishing something. And then you go home and there's all what they consider kind of petty problems and, you know, all this kind of stuff going on at home. And a lot of times people are unbalanced in their life in the sense that they're just spending too much time either in a terrain because they enjoy it or because they're afraid of some other terrain and they don't want to figure it out. With the Word of God as our sword, the book of Ephesians says we are to walk circumspectly. It's a very interesting term. It comes from our word for circumference, and applied to walking, it means you are to walk in every direction at the same time. Now, that doesn't work. I've tried it. As soon as I start, it's like you're stuck, and you end up just, you can't do it. And so it's a spiritual thing, obviously. And so the Lord says, hey, in every area of your life, I want you to walk at the same time. And I think we're getting some insight from Joshua. What the Lord means is that you should be conquering every territory equally and not have an imbalance in your life. And so if there becomes an imbalance in your life, you're preferring something over something else, work over marriage or, recreation over church or something like that, God wants you to conquer those things. He wants you to overcome and have a balanced life. He wants you to conquer especially the most stressful terrain. Otherwise, like anything else, when you get out of balance, things don't work out so well. And eventually that terrain that you've been neglecting starts to impinge on the other areas of your life and makes it miserable as well. Now, at the end of chapter 10, what we would call the southern campaign is over. Joshua went into Jericho, took it. It split the land in half. He went south, conquered. Then he would go north in chapter 11. It says they returned to the camp at Gilgal. I like to think of our fellowship of believers as a base camp. It should always be a place of refreshment and resupply, of rest and realization. You've got a lot of different terrain in your life that you're dealing with, and we want to have the ministry here at least be a place where you can resupply, go back out into that terrain, especially the difficult terrain, believe God, know that the Lord is with you, apply His Word, and see greater victory. And so we're trying to do as best we can. Every church should do its best to relieve burdens because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so we shouldn't be feeling strong, heavy burdens when we come together in the church. It should be a place where our burdens are relaxed. And so I like to think of Calvary Hanford as a base camp from which we go out and gain our victory. Now, it also says here that they took their enemies one at a time because the Lord God of Israel fought for them. One at a time indicates a strategy on God's part. He designed each battle to show them and to grow them.
Pastor Gene has been serving in the Central Valley of California at Calvary Hanford since 1985. You can find hundreds more Bible studies by visiting our website at calvaryhanford.com. There you'll find video, audio, and transcripts of sermons just like the one you just heard. You can also find links to get Pastor Gene's books at calvaryhanford.com/books. We hope you'll join us next time on Romancing the Saints as we continue to discover that you are the passion of Jesus.